you're not kind to animals, Humane Agent Rothman will kick your ass. Humanely. This is Rothman and Ice.
All right, welcome back. The Masters. Tees off without Tiger, but still many very good storylines. Bob Herrick, senior golf writer for ESPN.com. Been covering the game for a lot of years. I call him the original Danny Noonan. He really wanted to win that caddy scholarship. And look at him now. Bob, welcome back.
I really did want to win that scholarship. You're right. But thankfully, I didn't have to play good golf to be able to earn it, because I would have never had a chance. So thanks for having me.
Yeah, welcome back, Bob. So let me take you through a couple of these storylines. And the first one that jumps out at to me is when I think about Jordan Spieth's first five Masters, you know, a victory, a couple seconds, a third, an 11th, and then it goes away, and now he's rounding into form, coming back to a place he's had so much success. What do you expect from this Jordan Spieth return story?
I expect him to be part of the mix over the weekend. He's finally got it together. He's been playing really nicely now for basically almost 3 months. I mean, since the beginning of February, when he contended at the waste management event in Phoenix, a week after missing the cut and falling to 92nd in the world, he contended in three of his next four starts. And the other one wasn't horrible. He was finally on the leaderboard and making cuts easily and getting there. And obviously the confidence grew, and he's found something in his game. He's making a few more putts. And I think what's good to hear from him is he's like, look, I'm not back to where I was a few years ago. I still got some strides to make to get back there. I'm not to that level. I'm not hitting it as well. There's still issues in my swing. I think that bodes well, because if he's trending towards getting back to that, and yet he still managed to contend and now win a tournament. And he talks about how much he loves this tournament and the golf course. I think it's good to come in with some confidence at a place where you've already had success.
You know, Bubba, I was checking out the piece on ESPN.com that you guys wrote out there, and a lot of your colleagues picked their winners, and I wanted to see who you went with, and you went with Rory, and I was just interested to kind of pick your brain as to what's giving you a little bit of confidence to roll with Rory as a guy that could throw on that green jacket at the end of this weekend.
Well, look, honestly, one of the reasons I picked him was because I'm usually so bad at these things that I figure, what do I have to lose? but on the other hand, I mean, seriously, Rory's not getting much attention for obvious reasons, and I think maybe that might help him. You know, he comes in every year as a favorite, you know, a lot of questions, expected to win, complete the career Grand Slam. And here in the last several weeks, month or so, he sort of went the other direction. He brought on a new coach. He missed the cut at the Players, shot 79 the first round there. And he's had some issues. He really hasn't contended since golf came back from the pandemic shutdown. It's been kind of a 9 or 10 month spell of, really only a couple of high finishes and really not in the mix over the closing holes. But look, he brought on a guy to help him, and I didn't think he was that far off. Golf course still really favors him. And maybe he takes a little pressure off of himself by, realizing it might take me a little time to put this together. I don't necessarily think it has to take that long to put it together. And that's why I went with him. I just think he's still such a great talent that to not be able to fare well here would be surprising.
We're with Bob Herrick, ESPN senior golf writer on Rothman and Ice. He's on the Brian Heating Coin Systems fan guest hotline. I loved your line about a funny thing happened on the way to the green jacket. I think it rings true. This is Bryson DeChambeau, the new power golfer. He won the U.S. Open with the bomb and gouge style, but he putted like a Masters-type champion. Now he gets a second bite at the place. How do you feel about Bryson DeChambeau, what he learned, and what he will apply this year?
Well, I think he knew immediately. I don't think he needed to learn so much that if the other aspects of your game aren't there, it doesn't really matter how far you drive it. He can give himself a tremendous advantage off the tee here by where he can hit it. But if you're in the trees, or if you're hitting poor iron shots or chipping badly or not making any putts, and all of that stuff kind of goes away, and it actually can get to the point where you're immensely frustrated by it. So I think we saw some of that from Bryce in November. You know, he actually made a lot of birdies, made an eagle, bunch of birdies. He made enough to contend, but he had far too many mistakes. He had a triple bogey one day on the third hole. That was on the Friday, I believe. I mean, that's a hole that he can drive. You know, he's going to look to play number three, short par four, probably in two under par for the week. You know, maybe two birdies and two pars. I mean, to be three over in one day is quite debilitating, you know. And so he just didn't have it. And yet he continues to push, you know, push to learn how to hit it far, keep hitting it far. He won at Bay Hill last month on a golf course where, you know, he hit a lot of long drives. But he also putted really well and hit a lot of good shots in there to give himself chances. That's what he's going to need to do again here.
You know, there's so much history, obviously, that's wrapped up around this tournament. And obviously with the course, exactly where you are right now with Augusta, we all know how special of a place that is. But kind of take us inside of Augusta and what makes it special for you, a guy that gets to go to a lot of these big-time events, a lot of the best golf courses around the world. Like, tell me about Augusta and how this hits you and how excited or how do you get excited anymore about going to Augusta? Kind of what makes Augusta special for a guy like you?
Yeah, you know, it's one of those places so many times we build things up and then we're disappointed. You know, maybe doesn't quite meet our expectations, and this one it always exceeds. And it's just such a, you know, such a unique place. I think I'm always overcome by the attention, the detail, the amount of effort they put into the things that are really only of importance one week a year. You know, the driving range that I'm sure you've seen on TV where these guys are practicing on this incredible driving range. The members don't use it all year. They only use it like twice. They have another driving range that they use. This driving range is only used really for the tournament and for two other events during the membership season. I mean, that's incredible to think about. You know, the structure that I'm in right now, the media center. I mean, you know, kings could live in this place. And it's for 1 week a year, or 10 days, you know. Like, basically, it opened up on the Friday before the women's amateur event. It's monumental how nice it is. Things like that that they do and that they put the attention to. And obviously, you know, the golf course itself is the TV, as they say, doesn't do it justice. It's amazingly hilly. It's a tough walk. It takes something out of you to walk the golf course. And I think that's sort of an underrated aspect of playing well here.
Bob, do they still have the media lottery where they have the raffle basically of guys and women that get to cover it and then play the course after the tournament? Do they still have that? And have you ever been selected?
They do have it. They didn't have it in November due to the COVID stuff when they were being really careful. They are bringing it back this week. Mm. I am not eligible. There's usually a waiting period. I've played before. I played in 2018. I played in 2009. You tend to remember the dates. You know, it's such a great experience. You know, got to hit balls on that driving range, got to change in the clubhouse, had an Augusta caddy, walked, played fairly poorly, but enjoyed the heck out of it. You know, it was just an immense treat to get to do it. It gives you great perspective to how good these guys are. You know, I played the member season. Yeah, I've played the member season. Some of those holes, it's quite an advantage. Couldn't imagine playing it from where they play it. It's all good. I mean, it's a nice perk. It's nice of them to do that. And of course, they treat you really well when you get the opportunity.
No doubt. All right, final 30 seconds. What is your handicap, and what did you shoot when you played Augusta? I just want to try to get an idea of how more difficult it is than your everyday track. Like, how big of a window is it?
Yeah, really, I'll be honest with you, from the members' tees, it's very playable. You can, a good golfer could score well. I'm usually around a 12 to a 14, mm-hmm. So I should be able to break 90 pretty easily, and I didn't break 90 either time. The last time, I think I doubled like two of the last three holes to shoot 90 on the number. And I'll be honest with you, I was running out of gas a little bit.
Yeah.
It's a tough walk. Most of us recreational golfers, I live in Florida, nobody walks. Everybody's in a golf cart. And, you forget, it takes something out of you when you've been out there for 5 hours and you're getting to those last few holes. It humbled me, the greens are very difficult to putt. Having a great caddy really helps you, it's very easy to three putt, but phenomenal experience. I mean, I could have shot 100 and I would have loved it.
No doubt. Oh, absolutely. Bob, great stuff, man. Enjoy the week. We appreciate you, and we'll talk to you again soon. Thank you very much.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me.